It's nice to see some folks from my last session here. Apparently, I didn't scare you off. And I think you're going to like the demos I've got for you today. That's going to be my main focus again, is mostly just showing you how things work. For those of you who weren't in my... Hey, Martin. For those of you who weren't in my last session, I'll just do a quick intro, and then we'll get right into it. So I'm John Durant. I'm Senior Product Manager. Hey, guys. Welcome. Senior Product Manager in Office. I drive our Office Technical Marketing, and I used to work on Visual Studio. And it's always fun to... see people using things that you created. That's always really satisfying, you know, when I hear people use the SharePoint tools in Visual Studio or something like that. And knowing you had a hand in making those kinds of things is pretty fun. So I've been doing Office development for about a dozen years. And so it's something I'm pretty passionate about. And so you can pretty much ask me any question. I won't always know the answer, but I will track it down if I don't know it. You can ask me pretty much any question. Please don't wait until the end of my presentation to ask questions. I prefer if you just ask me during the presentation. If it's a really long answer, we'll just chat after. But otherwise, just go ahead and let me know what your questions are. Okay. So, this is basically what I'm going to take you through. I'm going to talk to you about the OpenXML file formats. And I'm going to show you how to use the OpenXML SDK. I will be showing you how to manipulate documents without touching the Office object models. I'll be showing you how to put data into documents. I'll be showing you how to take data out of documents, all using OpenXML. I'll be showing you the tools in the OpenXML SDK, how to use those tools, how they're going to make your life a lot better. Has anybody downloaded OpenXML SDK 2.0? Okay, we've got a couple intrepid souls. And so, how did this already get to here? That's interesting. That's not a transition that's in PowerPoint 2010. So if you've already been messing around with the tools, you can share your expertise with the crowd, too. You can tell everybody what you know. And so that'll be just fine. I'm going to be showing you how to use Word Automation Services. I've got about four demos that show Word Automation Services. I have one demo that shows you how to use Excel Services. And then I've just got some resource links at the end. When you download this deck, you'll be able to grab the links that I've got in there that will save you a little bit of time. All right. Manipulating Office files. So, what I'm going to take you into first is what I call the old world way of doing things and the new world way. So, that was the right transition this time. So, what I'm going to show you is how would you create documents programmatically the old way, the way that we've done it for, you know, over a decade, we've been doing it this way. And then I'm going to show you how fast and how simple it is to do the same operations using OpenXML. So with that said, let me back out of here for just a second. And here's what I'm going to do. So I've got this program called Merge to PDF. And it's this little gem right here. And inside of this program, here's basically what we're going to do. Is we're going to connect up to the AdventureWorks database. Cool. And then what we're going to do is we're going to produce a bunch of documents programmatically. And so you can see the code here as it goes through. And what it does is it basically walks through using the Word object model. So we're using the Word automation to do this. And so what I'm going to do is just kick it off. And I'll take you through some of the basics. But I just want to show you how this might work. So here we go. We're going to kick off this process. You can see it's producing. Here's my first Word document. Notice it's stepping through in this table. We're on our second Word document. So it's doing this all through code. It's taking us probably 5 or 6 seconds per document. A third. Okay. Now, this isn't bad, right? By the way, I used to be a consultant out in the field before I came to Microsoft, and I helped customers build these kinds of solutions. Has anybody in here done these very kinds of things with Word? Okay, yes, so it looks familiar, yes? Looks familiar. Yeah, but there are challenges that go with this, right? There are some challenges. So I think we're on about our seventh document. Okay, so I think we've had about enough of this one. Again, not a terrible thing, because, and let me, give me a chance here to close this. Not a terrible thing. It works. It produces that. And by the way, as comparatively, you're going to see how much slower that is compared to what I'm about to show you in OpenXML. Okay? But let's not completely throw that under the bus, because that ultimately does save users time. And that's why we all, those of us who've attempted this in the past, we did that because we needed to save users time. Instead of them typing all of these things manually, they click a button, things kick off, and this thing just generates. But what would happen is we had customers who would say, well, you know, I really need to do that kind of thing for, you know, but I need to do it for hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands, if I'm an insurance company, documents. So what they might do is they might set up a bunch of machines and turn them all on, okay? And then go home for the night, right? Go home, they're sleeping, dreaming, and then, you know, their pager goes off. Their phone goes off. Oh, something happened. A dialog box popped up. That works fine until somebody, some dialog box shows up, and then it says, please do this. The process just stops. You have to wait until somebody actually goes to the machine and clicks okay, and then the process can continue, okay? So what you start doing, if you've been down this road, is you start doing really clever things. By the way, there is an option in Word to turn off the UI so that you don't get these kinds of things, but some still show up. So then you start trying to do really tricky things like get the Windows handle. Am I sounding familiar to anybody in here? Yes. So then you try to get the Windows handle and try to click the button, you know, write all this code to manage. It wasn't designed to handle these kind of bulk processes. Word was not designed to do this kind of bulk operation. Okay, so now let's look at how might this work if we were to do it with OpenXML. And so what I've got here is I've got two directories. I've got this one called docx. I've got this one called pdf. And I'll show you what's in here. I'm going to show you what's in here. All right. So you can see, got nothing in this directory, which is what I wanted to show you. There's nothing in there. Nothing up my sleeve. So what I've got here is I've got a little operation where I'm going to select a month. I want to generate some invoices in Word. Have maybe some produced on the side in PDF format as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to choose a month. We'll say November 2008. Sounds good. We'll say create invoices. What this is going to do is kick off my server-side process, which is usually much faster. And it's going to kick off a server-side process that's going to produce a lot of documents through code using OpenXML. And I'm hoping all the rest of them are my regular speed here. And I know nobody is on my machine back in Redmond because it's 2 o'clock in the morning. So, not sure if it's our internet connection or... Okay. Not sure why that's the case. All right. So even though we had to wait a little bit for the internet connection, I think, but the process itself is very, very quick. You can see I produced all, look at them all. It's 2 o'clock in the morning for me. If I look a little tired, there's a reason why. All right, so you can see it produced all of these documents, and it formatted them. In fact, what we can do is we can open one up. So we can take a look. The document looks the same, does it not, as the ones that we were producing before? But we produced a heck of a lot of these documents through that server-side process. By the way, another option, in case you're interested, is I can view it in Word, but I can also view it. I didn't open it up using the Office web apps. I can also view it through using the Office web apps. So I can view it right here in the browser. So you can see, and by the way, I'm only showing the first 30. If I keep scrolling here, you're going to see I've got more of these. There's 31 through 60. Definitely a superior process, yes? Saves us a lot of time. We don't have to worry about any dialog boxes, no tricky business. And this is all just using OpenXML. So what I want to do, these are the other demos that I'm going to be showing you, each one of these tabs, to give you an idea of where we're going. So what I want to do now is show you, okay, some of you might be new to OpenXML, so what we're going to do is we're going to break open a file, and I'm going to dissect it a little bit for you, like you used to do in science class. Did you guys have to do that when you were in school, where you get a little poor frog or something like that? Did you guys have to do this in school? So we're going to do the same thing to an XML file in Word. All right. Okay, so what I'm going to do is show you a simple file here. This is just called sample. I've got three slides in it. Slide one, just put my name on there. Slide two, a picture I took at my house. I use this one as my Facebook picture. And very scary. And then we have slide three. So that's it. I have three slides, some basic text. I have an image, some basic text, and so on. All right. What I want to do now is you can see that I have this file right here. If I copy this file, or actually I wouldn't even bother copying it. If I just go to this same file, I have a copy of it right here. But if I take this same file and just add a zip extension to it, I can then open up this file. You can see this is the same file, and now I've got all of my contents right inside here. And so it's really just a zip container, which makes things simple. And when I change the extension back, it's back to being a PowerPoint file. So this is the same file, just a copy. And when you open this up, you'll see that we've got a number of things in here. We've got our presentation, ML. I'm going to show you what's in all of these so that you get a feel for things. I accidentally deleted this. There. So one of the key things that you have in here is your content types. Content types basically list for you the whatever is in this file. So it's kind of your point of departure, if you will. It's your starting point for understanding what's in the file. Once you get past in the content types, you'll see the basic list of things. I said that I had three slides in here. So as we look through here, you'll start to see the list that we have of our slides. Here's slide one. Here's slide two, right here. And here's slide three. So these are our three pieces of content. And we're going to go ahead and look at the internal workings there. So if I open up this, every file, this is just a PowerPoint file. If you open up a Word file or an Excel file, you're going to see the same kind of thing. Okay? Instead of being presentation.xml in Word, it'll say document.xml. And that is kind of the main, the content types will list what the actual content, it's sort of like in a book. You have the beginning, the table of contents at the beginning of a book. That's what your content types file is like. But then as we go, we keep drilling deeper and deeper and deeper. So now we go into presentation ML. And you can see that we had our three slides. And if we scroll down just a little bit. Oh, it's right up here. I'm tired. So here's my slide list. So these are my three slides. So I have slide. This is my first slide, my second slide, and my third slide. They're all here. And they have a special ID. The ID number starts with 256 and goes up from there. You can't start with one. You have to start with 256. And we go up from there. And then they have these RIDs. These are reference or relationship IDs. Basically, that number at the end, RID 1, RID 3, RID 4, these are important because they're what the OpenXML file formats use to make sure that they understand the relationships of all the pieces. So the ID number uniquely identifies the slide, and then the relationship ID helps us understand where in the hierarchy is it connected? Whose child is it, and how does it relate to other pieces? And you'll find that pretty much everything you have inside of these files has these relationship or reference IDs. So we have that. Next thing we want to do is go ahead and look at our slides. So we go into slides. We go into slide one. This was the one where I just had my name on the slide. And so you remember my name right here was listed on the slide, and that's a text run. If I wanted to, I could change this. I can't change it here in Internet Explorer, but if I wanted to, I could open up this text file, change that name, and save it, and then open up the PowerPoint presentation, and it will be whatever I type in here in the cell, in the field. Okay, so it's very simple that way. Let's go ahead and look at the other slides. Slide number two. Here was slide number two. Remember that we had a picture on there. So we started out with a title in our text box at the top saying slide two. And then we had our image. This is a reference to the image right here. It's what we call a blip. Don't know how we come up with these things. Actually, I do. So we have what's called a blip, and this is our blip right here. And it's just a reference to the actual image. The image file is still stored in the XML file format. It's a zip container, so if we keep drilling into the hierarchy, not in this file, but actually in the container, you'll see that we have the actual image sitting in there. Cool. And then we have our third slide right here. And if you remember, this one had the title, slide three. And then we had a couple of pieces of content. We have added text, and this is not really text. Okay. So all I'm trying to do here, we're going to get deeper, don't worry. We're going to delve, we're going to keep going deeper. But I just want to give you a quick introduction as to how these things are put together. Now, the question you should be asking yourself when you look at this is you say, well, John, okay, I see. Okay, first of all, good demo, loved it, was super fast, produced all these documents, I'm sold. Yes. Then you say, okay, looks like I got a little homework to do, but that's how I keep my job. I'm willing to learn what's going on here. I get it. But the thing that you should be asking yourself is you say, but really, do I need to learn what all of these schema tags are? Good land. That's a lot. By the way, we have a lot of documentation that specifies what every single one of these things is. Okay? Do you really expect yourself to go home and learn all this, hyper-caffeinated, never sleeping? No. That's how I originally learned it, because that was the only way we could do it back when we first introduced the file formats. You just had to learn how all these things work. But that's not a thing that scales, and we can do better. So I'm going to be showing you the OpenXML SDK tools, which will make this much, much easier. We actually don't need to learn the schemas. And everything is, you can program against files using a very simple API. Not a Office API, but an XML API that's very simple where you don't need to know these schemas and so forth. All right, so that's just a quick introduction to that. Let's go back here and take a look at this. Okay, so key takeaway so far is automation using the object model, not designed for these kind of bulk automation scenarios. It's not good for server scenarios. That has never been supported, even though we know people have done it. But it's never been supported for very good reason. We never designed the Word or Excel or PowerPoint or so on to run on the server without somebody watching over it. It was designed for users and developers to do, you know, in a single instance. It doesn't scale. We saw that, right? We ran it for, you know, a little while. We had 7 documents. Good, but we could do better. We saw that. And dialog boxes do stop the automation. So if you're doing these, don't confess it now. Just commit yourself to learning OpenXML. So OpenXML. Remember that users, you know, they have this single file, the docx format. We introduced these in 2007. We're carrying them forward in Office 2010. And they're our strategy for the long term. We are going to continue investing in these file formats. Okay? So the users see this, but under the hood, we see this. So we had our file container, which was our zip file I showed you. And we had document properties. That's a very common thing. People want to add custom properties, or they want to inspect what the properties of a document are. Who's the author? How big is this file? When was it created? You can put custom properties on the file. All of those things are typical, and you have document properties. You have comments. You have your Word ML, your Spreadsheet ML, your Presentation ML, which is the actual markup for like bolding and italics and underline and those kinds of things, shades and colors. We have images, video, sound. All of those are contained inside the file, which is nice. Much easier to do. These are the default file formats in Office 2007 and Office 2010. They're the defaults. And you can see what they are here. And we have the corresponding versions of these for the template files. So we have DOCX, but we also have DOTX, etc. OpenXML is an ISO standard. And then in Office, we've implemented the standard. It's important to understand that relationship. We've established this standard, which has been approved as an ISO standard. That means we no longer control that standard. It is a standards body standard, okay? And then in Office, we implement the standard, okay? That's a super important distinction, especially in times when governments, they want to base their solutions on standards, non-proprietary standards, and this is. Are you guys just watching this roll? Okay. There is a ghost in the machine. Is somebody clicking something up there that I'm not knowing about? Okay, don't lie to me. All right. So it's an ISO standard, zip-based with these document parts as I just showed you. Okay. Now what I want to do is take you into the OpenXML. As I just said, boy, you know, learning all of these schemas and delving into that could be a big deal. And so what I want to do is show you, first of all, a tool. So one of the neat things that we have is what's called the productivity tool. By the way, OpenXML SDK 2.0 we released on 18 March. So a little over a week ago, 10 days ago, we released this version. So we had been through some CTPs of the SDK, and now we've released, you know, 2.0. And so what you're looking at is the actual install bits. If you go to Bing and just type OpenXML SDK 2.0, it'll take you, the first link that you'll see is to the download, and to just get the download. It's pretty simple. Okay, so what's inside of here? The first thing that you should be interested in is looking at the OpenXML SDK documentation. This is good to know. So if I, here I'm searching for paragraph, I can get rid of that. So here's everything. This is the documentation. So you can see drawings in spreadsheets, And we'll get the API documentation here, and you can just link through. Okay? And the example I was just going to do for you is, what if I typed paragraph? You can see here's paragraph in Word. And you can see I've got what namespace it is, and any the constructors, the methods, so all the members. And then you can see the hierarchical relationships down here. So pretty strong stuff. So then if I pick, you know, like clone node, and I can just kind of keep drilling into the documentation. Okay? So this is great. This is the first item of business, is having good documentation that's readily accessible. It's one of the first things that we did in the tool. Okay, good enough. But is there more that we could do? Yes. So a couple of other things that you can do. We're going to open up this file, this example. We just have an example file in Word. We open up this file. We can now see the hierarchical. In other words, I don't have to go and turn it into a zip extension and then go through the zip file, right, and then open them all up in Internet Explorer or in Visual Studio. This gives me an easy way to simply go through and look at the very same things that we were looking at before. Here it's just, it happens to be a Word document, so if I look at the properties, these are all the properties, how many words are in the document. Now, that's the next piece I'm going to show you. So this is now, I'm just walking through. Now, one of the things that would make me very productive is if we could look at an example document and then have a tool that would wave a magic wand like that and with the head flowing like this, okay? Wave a magic wand and produce code that will create the document. For example, let's close this for just a second and look at what this file is. So if we look here, here's my, oops, not invalid, wrong file. Let's look at, oh, I did it twice. I'm going to do it three times. I'm just doing it too fast. That's the problem. Okay, so here's the document. Here's the document. This is what it looks like. Okay? What I want to do, and that's what we were just looking at in the Explorer. Okay? We were just walking through the structure of this document. Fine. What I want to do is have that tool wave the magic wand and write a bunch of C# code for me that will produce this document. That's what I want. So let me close this again. Tricky. All right. See how I did that? It's amazing. I'm really talented. Okay. So we open up this file again. And what I'm going to do here is click Reflect Code. And now it produced C# code. I can copy this code. In fact, if I right click on here, copy all code. Okay. I can now paste this into a Visual Studio project. And press F5, it will produce that Word document with that table and all of that stuff. Come on. Okay? What it won't prevent you from doing is opening the wrong document four times. Okay. Can't prevent people from being stupid, and I'm number one. Okay. So, that is pretty compelling, though. And this, again, see how we're in the mode now of saving some time. So this is a pretty strong mechanism. Now, another thing that we could do is we can do what's called comparing files. What happens if I've produced a document, a slide, a presentation, or workbook, and I've got two of them, and I want to understand differences between them? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do that very thing. So my first file that I'm going to look at is example. The second file that I'm going to look at is called invalid. And I'm going to open these up. And you can see in my file comparison, I'm going to shut down my reflected code here. So these are the two files. I've got example and I've got invalid. I'm going to show you invalid, why it's invalid, and why that's important in just a second. But if I open this up, it's highlighting, I don't know if you can see that this is gray here. It's highlighting this because there's actually a difference between these two. So if I scroll over just a little bit, you'll see this now is in green, and it has this ID number. And if I look at this file over here, it has these numbers right here. So it's identifying. Now, this is a very small difference between these two files. It could detect big differences, but I wanted to show you how narrow the searchlight can, how narrow that beam of light can be. It can be down to just this one item, or it can be, hey, there's a whole table over here that doesn't exist over here. There are six pages over here that don't exist over here. These kinds of things. So it gives you this ability to compare between the documents. Excellent. And then you can, if there were more differences, you click next, 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 and you can keep finding the differences in the document. Okay. The last thing that I want to show you is the validation. So I've got this file called invalid, and now I can validate the file. And it's actually going to look for problems in the file and look for errors. And I've got some in here. And this was that first one. If I scroll over just a little bit, it'll give me the information right here that this attribute has a value of 00000, and you can't do that. I mean, it identified it for me. If I didn't have this tool, I would have to somehow be, have psychic powers or a lot of patience to try and find where the specific problem is in the file, okay? But here it is. The string 0000 is not valid. Nice, okay? So we see in this productivity tool some pretty good stuff to help you just get into it. But what this doesn't help you do is it doesn't solve that problem of you having to really know a lot about the schemas. And that's what I'm going to take you through a few slides and then show you some more demo that will describe how we can keep you from having to worry too much about that. All right. So that's OpenXML SDK. So, OpenXML SDK overview. You can create, consume, modify these OpenXML documents. We support Office 2007 SP2, as well as the 2010 file formats. It's based on .NET. We have both C# and VB compatibility. The demos I'm showing you today happen to be in C#, but they would all work exactly the same way in VB.NET. It's compatible with Link. Link is great technology. If you haven't invested time in learning Link yet, that's another one. Go ahead and take some notes. Definitely, you want to spend some time learning Link because so much of what we do now incorporates the Link technology. Basically, what Link does is it allows you to write SQL queries against almost any data structure. So if you're not familiar with Link, so if I have an XML, a run of XML, I could actually write a SQL select, select all of my customers from that XML where the customer, where the region is, Netherlands, okay? So, you can write just select statements. You'll see I've got some in here in just a minute. So that Link technology, that's how we're fueling a lot of this and simplifying things. It provides a unified platform. It's consistent for both client and server. The code that I'm going to show you, all the code I'm going to show you that runs OpenXML would run on the server or run on the client. You write it once, you can run it in both environments. Makes it a lot better. And what it isn't, however, it is not a replacement for the Office object models. Even though we've poked a little fun at some of the performance issues of the Office object models, they are still very valuable. Because let's say I wanted to give you a simple example. Let's say that I wanted to have a process that when I think of one I just recently did. Oh, here's one. Have you noticed when you go into Word and you want to delete a row in a table, you select the row and then you right-click and say delete? And then it pops up a little dialog box that says, do you want to delete just the cell? Do you want to delete the whole row? Do you want to delete your sanity? Do you want, okay? All right, have you noticed this? I'm annoyed by this, by the way. This is on my wish list for Office 15. I just want delete row, because 10 times out of 10, I want to delete the whole row, okay? It's fascinating. Okay, 10 times out of 10, I want to delete the whole row. So I could write a quick macro in VBA, put a button on my toolbar that would delete that whole row. That's a great example of how the Office object models would support my scenario. Right? That way in the future, I don't have to right-click and do all that monkey business. I stick the cursor in a row, hit that button, it'll delete the whole row. That's a very simple example. That is something that we're encouraging people to still do. You wouldn't do that using OpenXML. Okay? No. That is a great use of the Office automation and VBA. So it's not a replacement for those object models. It's not designed for performing application runtime tasks. The most obvious example is Excel. If I pump a bunch of data into an Excel document using OpenXML, Excel is not going to do all the calculations. Okay? That's one of the most important. If you have formulas, you can put those in using OpenXML. You can do all that. I can put some formulas in there, but they're not going to get calculated until Excel actually runs. Right? So OpenXML isn't designed to be a calculation engine and reduplicate all of that functionality. So on. Does that make sense? And so those are the kinds of things that you just need to be aware of that, you know, SDK is really just, it's mostly about data, pushing data in, pulling data out, or manipulating data in the document. But it's not to replace the specific functionality of PowerPoint and so on. And it's not designed for performing file conversions. To do file conversions, you need to use something else. For example, Word Services, which will do file conversions on the server for you. So these are the, yes, you would use that for that, but converting to PDF or XPS is not what the SDK is designed to help you do. All right, how did we design it? Yes. No, that's a very good question. So he's asking the question, okay, so if I run this OpenXML SDK code, if I work with the OpenXML file formats on the server, do I need to have the Office applications installed? The answer is no. Very good question. Thank you for he threw me. We're going American baseball. He threw me a softball, and I just stood up. Okay. Thank you. That's a great question, and I appreciate you asking that because it's so important. You don't need to have Office installed on the server. You just install your code. That's it. You install your code. Yeah. Simplifies things. Okay. So, OpenXML. So this is basically how we do, this is the getting a little bit into the architecture. I don't want to dwell on this too much because our emphasis is on how we use it, but I think it's valuable for you to understand a little bit about how it's constructed because you're going to use it a lot. And so we basically have it in kind of three main layers. And we start at the bottom layer. Think about it. If you were to develop, the way to think about these layers is just if you were to develop at that layer, what would it look like? So if you were to develop at this layer, you would go into .NET. You wouldn't use OpenXML SDK or anything like that. You'd pave a brand new box. You'd go install Visual Studio. And then you go into Visual Studio. You'd reference system.io.packaging. And you could do, in fact, this is how I began when we first introduced these file formats. This was the only way to do it. And you can actually use system.io.packaging to walk through the hierarchy and do things. But you have to write a lot of extra code because you're at the lowest level. It's just like any programming, you know, environment. The lower you go, the more you write. If you want to write assembly, you're going to write a lot of code. Okay? And you also have to know the schemas. You really have to know every detail, all the little details of those schemas you have to know. So then we have the OpenXML file format base level. So here, this allows you, we sort of abstract things a little bit more for reading and writing. We have a low-level DOM to iterate over parts in there and those kinds of things. We have a simple packaging API. The nice part is I'm writing less code. I'm working at a higher level. You shouldn't be worried about performance really at these levels. I mean, for the kind of stuff we're doing, it's negligible. And then we go to where we're at now with the OpenXML SDK 2.0 and the kind of time-saving things that you're starting to see. Helper functions. We've got semantic level validation. What that means is, you know, we're dealing with the file conceptually and not at the schema level. Okay? We understand what a slide or a a drawing in the presentation actually means. We don't need to know all the schema information. We just know what it means. So it's at a semantic. Good Lord. It's at a semantic level. And then we have that schema level validation. Okay. Next one. All right. So document assembly and manipulation. So what I want to do now is take you into a PowerPoint example. We're going to produce a PowerPoint presentation and duplicate, create a bunch of slides in it, all coming from a SQL Server database. In this case, we'll use AdventureWorks. All right. So this is our project. This is a pretty bare bones project that we've opened up here. And I'm going to walk you through all the code. The first thing that I needed to do, because what we're going to do is connect up to a database, get a list of contacts, basically, and then we're going to go into a slide presentation, and we're going to produce a separate slide for each one of those contacts that we find in there. Okay? That's the process. Let me show you how this general thing is constructed by taking you into here. So we have a template. I'm going to open up this template. This is how things begin. Okay? Let's see here. This is how things begin. So we have this slide, and then we have this slide. This is this second slide here is what I'm calling the template slide. I'm going to connect up to that database, get all of your names, pretend each one of you represents a single record in the database. I'm going to get your name, and I'm going to put it in there. I'm going to put in your email address and the other information, and then I'm going to go to the next record in the database, produce a second slide, and I'm going to use this as my template. Is everyone with me so far? Okay? I'm just going to do that. If there are 100 records, I'm going to produce 100 slides. If there are 50 records, 50 slides. Obviously, you wouldn't really want a slide deck that's got 3,000 slides, although I have seen some presentations at TechEd that sort of go down that road. I once was speaking at TechEd or PDC some years ago, and this guy, I'm sorry, side note. So this guy is getting up, he's got an hour and 10 minutes, and he had 132 slides. He clearly was new. And I said, wow, like, how's that going to work? You know, really? So he was pretty sure he was going to do it. You know, it's like it came down to like 22 seconds per slide is what he would have to do. I don't know how his presentation turned out. I don't know if they have evals that go that low. So don't worry necessarily, you know, John, would you really run this against a database with 1,000 records? Don't worry about what I'm trying to emphasize is the principle. And also you can constrain the query so you can narrow it down. So this is our template presentation. Now let's take a look at the code and how we're actually going to... Oops, wrong project. Let's take a look at the code and how we're actually going to make all this happen. So here's the connection to the database. All I did was I connected up to my Northwind database, my AdventureWorks database right here, and added to this. This is a link to SQL class. If you've never used one of these, they're pretty easy to create. If you just go here to add new item and click on data, like this, and then you have link to SQL class, give it a name, and it'll bring you to this screen right here. You won't have any of these tables on here. Don't worry about that. All you have to do is go over here and start clicking tables and dragging them onto this surface. That's it. Okay? That's all you do. The reason why this is important is because by creating this DBML file right here, it actually creates a strongly typed class. So now if I want to work with any of these data points in code, I can just reference them as salesperson or sales territory. They're strongly typed classes inside of my project now. Cool, right? So that's the idea here. That's not really the focus of the presentation, but it's a nice little side note in case you care. All right. So here's my here's the actual code that does things. And I commented this out so that you could see what I'm doing. Let's start with main, first of all. So here's the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to copy my template file to a new thing called output.pptx. I added true at the end because if this thing here, let me put this into full screen mode. I add true at the end so that if the output.pptx file is already there, I'm just going to overwrite it. Makes it easier to do demos. See? So that worked. And can you see the code okay in the back? You see it? Yes. Okay, good. So next thing I want to do is I want to open that newly created file, which is just a clone of my template file. So I'm going to open that up. Now we're going to get access to the main presentation part. So here we have presentation part. That's the type that I'm using. And we're going to call it pres part. And it's going to go to my presentation, which we just opened up earlier. And we're going to get the main presentation part. Okay. This is when you do that sound of the needle scratching across the record. Okay. Wait. What are we talking about? Remember back to when I first was demoing today and we opened up the zip file and I showed you things. I showed you the content types file and then I showed you the presentation.xml file. Okay, that's what we're in. That's the main presentation part. It's got the meat of things. Okay, so we're getting that presentation part. Now, what I need to do is I want to start duplicating that template slide. That template slide has an RID value of 3. How do I know this? Because I used the productivity tool, opened it up, navigated, and found out what the RID was. Cool, right? So that's how the productivity tool can help you, because I didn't have to hunt around for it. The productivity tool opened it up. Boom, look, there it is. Okay? So I know. I'm going to get part by part ID, and that's going to give me a pointer to that template slide, that second slide that we're going to be cloning and adding your names to. Okay? So that's going to give me my template slide. Then I'm going to get a reference to my database, which we'll just put in DB right here. And so now, all I've done, I've created a copy of the original slide deck, got a reference to the template slide, and I've connected to my database. Now I'm ready to do business. I'm ready to loop through every record in the database that meets my search criteria and create a new slide based on the template slide, cloning that second slide, clone it, and then I want to take your name, your email, and all of that other information and simply plug it into that template slide clone that we just created. And then I just want to loop through and repeat that over and over. So here it is. So right here, I've got the connection to the database. Now what I'm going to do is create a query from the database. Notice this is using link to SQL. So simple. It's a select statement. And so we're going to get we're going to join the employees table where the salesperson ID equals the employee ID. We're going to join the sales territories table where the territory ID equals for the salesperson equals the territory ID in the actual territory. That way we get a nice territory name. And then we're going to join to the contacts table where my contact ID for my employee is equal to my contact ID here. And we're going to group by salesperson ID. So that's using link. So now we have our query, got our connection, we've got our cloned reference to the slide that we're going to clone, and now let's loop through. So for every salesperson result that we get back from that query, what we're going to do is we've declared a bunch of string variables that you see right here for my different fields. And what I'm going to do is for that item that's coming back from the query, we're just going to get employee.contact first name, last name. Then we're going to concatenate all of them. Then we're going to get their email address. Then we're going to do a little math rounding of the sales to date and so on. You can see, okay? Standard step. So this is really my business logic, if you will, where I'm simply looping through, gathering up the stuff, putting in some percent. You can mess around with this. You can format, not format it really, but you can start to mess around with, how you munge the data. Okay, now, what we need to do is we have our reference to the slide that we need to clone. We have all the data information for our first person. So we'll start here, and we'll loop through every person in the room. But I need to actually clone the slide. So I need to clone it. And so here we go, clone slide. So I've created a custom procedure called clone slide. And what I'm going to pass to it is my main presentation part and the template slide. And it's going to return back to me a brand new slide. So if we scroll down here, you'll see clone slide. So we pass to it the main presentation part and the template slide. And it returns, it's going to return a slide. Okay? So here's what we're going to do is we're going to go, we're going to create a new slide. And so we say add a new part. So to our main presentation, add a new part that's going to be a slide part. Now, then what we're going to do is we're going to get the data from our template slide. That the data there, just so that we're all on the same page. Just a quick review. We're going to get a stream of this information, the template information. Yes? No, because using the parts as I'm doing here, cloning just the node won't help me because I have to actually create this slide, make sure I reference up the reference IDs and things like that. Cloning just the node would clone the XML, but it wouldn't do all the mapping and the other kind of sophistication that I'm doing in here. So I'm basically, I have a reference to here, but now I need to read the data out of here. And that's all I'm doing in this line right here. So what I'm doing is I'm getting the stream of the information. Then I'm going to add a layout because every slide has a layout part and I need to add the layout part. This is another example of why you can't just clone. I gotta make sure I get that layout part in there. Then I need to get a new slide ID and a relationship ID. And then what we're going to, and what we do is we have an ID value. Remember, every slide has to have a unique identifier. We started up here with 258. I wrote here in the notes, we need to start with the value of 256 or greater, but we already have two slides in the deck, correct? One is 256, the second one is 257. So what number do we have to start with? 258. And so I start with 258. And then what I do is I make that number the new ID for that slide, our newly created slide where we're going to plug in the new information. And then I just increment my counter. And then I append the slide to the slide list. Yes? You could. Yep, it's very easy. His question is, is it easy for me to just get the ID? Here I use the productivity tool so I'd know what the ID values were. But yes, in code, it's a method actually. And you can, in the API, and you can actually, please tell me what the ID is. It's right by here. Get ID of part. Simple. Right? You pass it a slide, tell me get ID of part, and it'll give you an ID. Yes. That dropped me. We're going to need this connection for the rest of our demos. All right. So, then we return that slide. So let's go back to right here. So we're going to get that slide back, and then we're going to take that slide and we're going to put into that slide the first name, last name, email address, and so on. And I wrote a custom procedure to do that called insert content. So now we'll just take a quick peek at that one, which is right down here. Insert content, it takes that slide and then swaps the placeholders. And so I wrote a little procedure here that says, okay, go into the slide that we just created and get each drawing object in there, which means each little text field, and then put into the text field the appropriate piece of content. Okay? And so it's going to loop through, do all of that. It's going to add the new text values, and then we just have a couple little items of cleanup to do right here, and that is we're going to delete the template slide. So remember, we cloned the original slide presentation, which had that template slide. When I open it up in my business meeting, I don't want that template slide to be in there, right? Because it doesn't have any customer information or salesperson information. So what I'm going to do is delete that one. And I knew what the RID value was. And so all I'm going to do is say, okay, delete the slide where that relationship is true. And then we also need to remove it from our slide list. Even though we've removed the slide, we need to make sure that we remove it from the list of slides as well. So that's it. So that's my code. I know that might be kind of a lot to take in, but in concept, you know, you look at this, this is, I don't know how many lines of code, probably 50 or 60 lines of code total, if you take out my comments, okay? But in concept, it's fairly simple. So now let's run it, and let's see what it produces. So it's done. It just ran through the database. And here is output, which we created right here at 247. Yeah, I'm tired. And then here it is. So if we look at these slides, these are all the records from the database with a separate slide for each one. All right. Thank you. Now, there's something even cooler to this. There's something even cooler. So, see all the formatting in here? Notice that none of my code dealt with any of this formatting. That's the whole beauty of using a template. So, let's do this. This is where things get fun. Let's go into the template slide, and let's go here to design, and let's choose a different design. Like this, or this, okay? We'll save our template, close that, and rerun our code. I think you guys see where this is going. Run it. We're done. Go back. Open up output. Boom. It just recreated the entire deck, completely reformatted. Okay? That's time saving. Yeah. Thank you. So, right? So this is the idea. You can do this with Word. You can do this with Excel. Okay? That's the idea. That's the power of templating like this. Okay. I know that one's kind of a lot, that example's kind of a lot to take in. Let's see. I hope we can connect, or I have no more demos. Okay, good. Yes. Yeah, so his question is, if I do produce an Excel document using this kind of mechanism, and I do have calculations that need to occur, how do I make sure those calculations happen? The only way for those to happen is by opening up Excel, because that's what Excel's designed to do, right? And, you know, that's why I say OpenXML is all about getting data into and out of. That's what this PowerPoint presentation idea is. We're taking data from a database. We're producing slides. We're doing that kind of an operation, but it won't do... is pretend it was Excel, it's not going to do all the sophisticated calculations and stuff. That would be a monumental effort. So great question. Yes, sir? What about formulas in Excel? Would it be language? So, good question. So if I insert formulas into Excel, will my formulas be language dependent? So how do you mean? Okay. Very good. So I do understand the question. So yeah, so if you were, so the OpenXML SDK file formats allow you to do those kinds of operations. You what you would probably want to do is have those be in your localized language so that when somebody would open it up in Dutch version of Excel, they'll see your formulas, you know, with your names and so on. It's designed to accommodate that. You don't have to have everything be in English just because you're using OpenXML.
Can you have a language independent function?
Okay, so your second question is then, well, can I make it totally language independent? I don't know how you'd have to write some code that would somehow make that happen, but you're always language dependent. It always has to be one language, some language. So but you could make it easy to localize it by writing extra code. That would be the only way to do it. But yeah, there is no lingua franca that would make it language independent. So key takeaways, it's fast, very fast. You guys saw how quickly I produced that slide deck. Pressed a button, bam, we were there. It's easy to manipulate multiple office documents together, even different types of documents. So what you could do is you could actually not only produce this slide presentation by connecting to a database, but I could also, if I wanted to, I could connect to a list of Word documents and produce slide presentations based on content of Word documents. Because and I could write link queries against the Word documents and extract the data and put them into my presentation. Or write a link query to Word documents, extract the data, and put them into a database. All of these things are things I've seen customers do. Right? So it gives you quite a bit of power. All right. Using the tools I've already shown you, I showed you how to generate SDK code and how to use the tools to make things move faster. All right. So now we're going to move into the final set of demos today, which is on using Word services and Excel services. So we're going to do a bunch of stuff on the server, and you'll see how that works. And I have my slides just continuing to go forward. So Word services, it's like, as I mentioned in my presentation yesterday. Yes, sir. Right. So your question is, what's the difference between using OpenXML and using XSLT? So like to do a query or a transformation, you know, to use XPath, get a query, use XSLT, do some kind of transformation, okay? I've done it both ways, okay? So his question is, you know, when is there an advantage to using XSLT? Is there maybe, or is there an advantage to using OpenXML? XSLT, remember I showed you that three-tiered level of OpenXML? If you're doing XSLT to do transformations and things like that, it's a totally valuable thing to do, but you're going to be working at a lower level. You won't have any semantic awareness. That's the advantage to using OpenXML with the SDK and so on, is that you have this semantic awareness. You know that a presentation has a presentation part, which has slide parts, which have relationships and all of these things. If you go to do things with XSLT, which those are my original demos. If I go back, even before we introduced OpenXML, I used to produce documents using our XML file format, which was called WordML, back in 2003. All of my demos did transformations using XSLT, but you have to know a ton of information about the construction and the details of the file. OpenXML abstracts a lot of that for you. From a performance perspective, it's super fast, so you're not losing anything. Yeah, tables. His question is, you know, are tables, for example, in Word, is that possible in OpenXML? Yeah, pretty much anything that you can produce in a Word document, smart art, all of those are all things that you can produce. In fact, I'm going to show you a demo in just a second where I produce a lot of those pieces. Okay, very good questions. Excellent. So Word services, you know, as I said in my presentation yesterday, it's file save as on the server. So it's good for bulk generation, bulk document generation, bulk document conversion. I have 3 million Word documents that I need to produce as PDFs. You would spin up, you could do that in just a handful of lines of code. It's a single DLL running on the server. It's part of the SharePoint install. The Word services is part of the SharePoint install. It does require SharePoint. And then you can do these things. Excel services, this provides calculation and charting functionality. So imagine that I have a bunch of Word documents in a directory, in a document library on SharePoint. And I want to have a chart that represents information aggregated from all those documents. Think of it this way. You all work for Microsoft now. I hereby W all Microsoft employees. And you all write specs for our new product. We're going to work on Office 15. And every one of you is writing a spec for a feature. Okay? And in your spec, we actually mark, and this is what we actually do, in our specs, we mark what are called issues. So in addition to all the other information, we mark up things where these are open issues, things we haven't resolved yet, questions. Are we going to do this? Are we not going to do this? If we do this, there are 10 other things that we're going to have to fix in order to enable that feature, you know, things like this. And we mark those as issues. And we save those specs into a SharePoint document library. Wouldn't it be cool if I could put a chart in that SharePoint document library that would show me how many issues we have outstanding among all the specs that everybody has written in this room. It's a lot of specs. I could use OpenXML to open up all of your documents, look for every one of those issues, and aggregate those. That's interesting. So then I could get a quick view of how many open issues we have in our specs. Wouldn't it also be cool if I could actually aggregate those and summarize those by person? So I could then have a chart that lists our total number of open issues, but then list each person and a little histogram that would show how many issues I have per person. That way I know who's not resolving their issues. And then I can start sending them really nasty email. And then, okay, no, we're going too far. It's touching too close to home. Okay. So that's the kind of thing you can do with Excel services. You can do that kind of charting. And also the ability to co-author. I talked about the co-authoring capability. I won't delve deeper into that today. All right. So Word Automation Services, this is what our performance looks like. It's killer diller. Word Automation Services produces around 20 to 30 pages per second, 7,200 documents per hour, which is pretty good. That means 172,800 documents per day. This is based on our own test data, basically what we found out. Word 2007, it's 5 to 7. This is if you were to do automation style, which means you could produce hopefully around 900 documents per hour, 21,600. You can see how much faster. Our competitor produces around a third of a page per second, which means about 120 documents per hour, 2880. So huge advantage going with Word services. This was a fairly significant investment for us to enable a lot of user scenarios. Okay, so now let's go ahead and look at this. I think those are our final slides of the day. Yep, we're pretty much at the end. Okay. Uh-oh. This is not good. We have internet access. Just be patient here. There we go. Okay, so now let's go back to here. And let's go ahead and we're going to run a couple of new demos, okay? So let's start with this one right here. So this is to answer your question, sir, when you're talking about can I incorporate other types of content and mix and match and produce tables and things like that. So that's what this demo does right here. One of the things that we introduce in this release of SharePoint 2010, I'm going to run through these next demos pretty quickly because I'm near the end here, but is the concept of document sets. Think of it as kind of like a three-ring binder for a bunch of documents. They could be that document set could include two Word documents, a Word workbook, and three PowerPoint presentations. And so all I need to do is go here. That's way back. Yeah, Office Binder is old, ancient, fortunately well behind us now, technology. So if I click on New Document, we'll give this one a name of Contoso 4. And say OK, and it's going to produce that document set for us. It's producing six documents in the set, and here they are. And now these are all templated, and they're ready to go. I haven't written any code to do this, by the way. Now, where things get interesting is if you look at this Microsoft one here. This one I've actually gone through and added some other content, for example, in this template. If I click on Assemble Documents, now I'm going to be running server-side code. So when I click Assemble Documents, it's actually going to take content from here, from here, from here, from here, from here, and here, and it's going to produce, actually not this one, but the other five, and it's going to produce a single document that has all of that content. I'm going to be basically merging all of the content. So to give you an example of what this looks like, if I open up this workbook, you'll see it's got table with data, and it's got a chart. This is using the Office web apps, by the way, so in case you haven't seen the Office web apps yet, that's what you're about to look at. Oh no, this one is blank. This is the one that doesn't have any content yet. So when I click Assemble Documents, anyway, don't worry about that. What's important is we're going to actually merge all of the content into one single file. So it's going to open up that file for me right here. And this is actually taking the content from the different files. And if you look, this came from a PowerPoint presentation. This is information coming from one of the Word documents. These are data points coming out of my, this is the chart that comes out of my workbook. And this is the actual data table that comes out of the same spreadsheet. So here I've just got server-side code that's merging all of the content of the six documents in the set, converging them into one document. Okay? So that's what that one is designed to do. Next demo that I'm going to show you is this. If I open up a Word document, if you haven't done this before, if you open up any or even a PowerPoint presentation, one of the things that you can do is prepare for sharing. And what this will do is you can click on Inspect the Document, and it will look for any personal information. For example, track changes, comments, things like this. So imagine we're working on a proposal for a big customer. We're working on the proposal. And in that document, we've got track changes on. And so in that proposal, you say, you put a comment in that says, hey, John, by the way, I think we should remove this part of the document because the customer's a total doofus. And if we leave this, you know, we got to change this so they understand, right? Something terrible, okay? We wouldn't really do that. But just imagine you said something really terrible. Or you put in proprietary information. Yes, you know, put a comment in there. You know, we've got a patent that we're going to be filing soon on this super important technology that we're going to spend $17 billion on. You leave that in. Now, you send that document out to your customer. So you go, oh, you know, great. You look at the final markup and you send it to the customer. They open it up and they see, I'm a doofus? Okay? Customer upset. And then they look, oh, they're about to file a patent on a $17 billion piece of technology. Oh, okay? You don't want that to happen. So what you do is you click Inspect Document, and it gives you a quick report right here. I'm not going to take time to do it, but it just gives you a quick report. Okay? And then you can strip that content and then save it and then send it to your customer. Okay? Now, you can do that for every single document, but it presupposes that you're running the Office application. So what I've got is I've got a file here called test, which we'll open up. You'll see I've got all kinds of scary information, things I would never want my customer to see. So I'm going to prepare this document. I'm going to send it out. But I want to make sure that my customer doesn't see any of this information. Oh, I've already sanitized this one. That's all right. So this is what we'll do. We'll edit the document. I've already sanitized it. So no big deal. So what I'll do is I'll go here. We'll copy this. We'll add it. Okay? And we'll add a comment right here. You know, I love my customers. That we don't mind them seeing. All right. So we've got all this proprietary information. Now what I can do is I've added a little custom action here called Inspect Document. And now I'm not going to use the Word application. I'm going to use OpenXML. So I'm going to inspect the document. And it has comments. It has revisions. It doesn't have any personal information. So that's good. And all of this is reported through OpenXML. So we click Remove All. And now the document's been saved. You can tell that it's been saved. And now if I open up the document again, you'll see that the content's been removed. All the content is gone. Yeah. That'll save you, losing your job, right? Okay. But now that works. For one document, what if I wanted to do it for a whole directory of documents? So, yes. Yeah, so you could control that. In this case, I accepted the changes. So his question was, did that demo just accept all the changes? Yes. You could code it either way. In this case, I accepted the changes. So that works on an instance basis. What about these? So if you look, I've got these documents. Trust me, they're the same as the last document. It's got markup. It's got comments. It's got all that stuff. And what I'm going to do is click Sanitize Documents, and it's actually going to go through every file in the directory. And you could tell that it just saved them all. That was using OpenXML. So it sanitized the entire directory of documents. The next thing I want to do is convert documents. So here I have these documents right here. Oh, it looks like somebody just ran it. Somebody else is connected to my server and ran it. Yes. Well, he ran it at 4:41 in the afternoon, so a few hours ago. Let me take it to this one, right here. So what I want to do is we're going to delete these because I'm going to produce them. I could have just deleted all three together. This is the last demo I'll show you. In this one, I want to produce a workbook and a Word document that's going to contain some information for calculating a mortgage. So imagine I'm a real estate person and I want to produce these documents, but I want it to be based on certain information. So based on a mortgage of 450,000 euros for 30 years with an interest rate of 0.6%. And this one here, I've got a little bug. It's going to report an error, but don't worry. It actually does produce the documents. I haven't had time to fix it. So don't worry. It's going to give me a little jolt. Oh, it didn't this time. Yay. So I don't know why. And so if I look at this workbook now. Oh, it flashed it. Open in Excel. It's actually produced the workbook with all of the information regarding, you know, the terms, what my payments will be on the mortgage, and so forth. So that was all produced just on those three text boxes. It produced all of this. And I even embedded these right here. So what my monthly payments would be if I changed the mortgage from 30 years to 25 years, my mortgage would go up this amount. And so it did all of that. So as you can see, well, we're out of time. But as you can see, key takeaways, it's great. And here's the information. So this slide has some more information for you to get more familiar, to download the versions of the SDK. You want version 2.0. And we also have some extra power tools. In addition to all that, we have power tools that are on CodePlex. And we have our XML location on MSDN. These are four good blogs for you to subscribe to. I blog frequently about OpenXML. Zed and Brian Jones are true heroes. Eric White, Doug Mayhew, and so on. So with all of that, thanks for coming. If you have any questions, go ahead and let me know afterwards. And have a good rest of the day.